God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I mentioned, I think the only thing about that first statement that needs changed is God's word must be studied from a dispensational viewpoint. That's true, and dispensation is a good Bible word, but we might want that to say God's word must be studied and rightly divided, because that's the phrase that's used in 2 Timothy 2:15, not dispensational viewpoint is not what's used in 2 Timothy 2:15. So one of the things we've been trying to do with this statement of faith is align it more with the terminology that's used in Scripture. So we may make that little change. That is, we must realize that although God never changes, and of course the two verses for that, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, and then Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. And both of these passages, any anti-dispensational Bible teacher, any covenant theologian, any part of the charismatic movement, they will look at these and use these verses and say, you see, God never changes. So Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And, you know, I've heard lots of charismatic preachers say, okay, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever, and therefore, if he ever healed, he's going to heal today. And, of course, they don't take that to the judgment side of God and the curse side of the law. They just make it true of the blessing side, that, you know, if God was ever giving these blessings under the law, then he has to give them today. They don't say, well, if God ever sent a flood to destroy the world, he has to do that today. If God ever rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, he has to do that today. If God ever opened up the earth and swallowed down Korah and his followers quick into the pit, he has to do that today. So it's very selective in what they want God never to change about. They like the fact that he's changed in that he's not dispensing judgment as he did under the law, but they want to keep the blessings. So Malachi 3 is another one. Malachi 3 is, both of these, in fact, are directly related to God's promises to Israel, not changing. Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I will fulfill the promises and the covenants that I have with Israel, and I will not consume that nation even in the midst of their sin. So we must realize that, oh, God never changes, and that's certainly a true statement. Then the rest of that passage, man does change, and therefore the way in which God deals with man must change. So, you know, that's partially true, I guess I'll say. You know, sometimes they'll have a news story and they fact check it and they'll say, well, this is false, this is true, this is partially true. So it is partially true that in one sense, when mankind changes, God's dealings with man change. When mankind sinned in the Garden of Eden, was no longer in a state of perfection and innocence, God's dealing with him changed. When mankind became desperately wicked so that every thought of his heart was only evil continually, God's dealings with him had to change. He brought the flood. When mankind built a tower to reach heaven, when God had said, be scattered abroad over the whole earth, he changed his dealings with man, called out Abraham, the nation Israel. However, that's not the only point and issue in dispensational Bible study, in rightly dividing the word of truth. The primary point and issue is in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, and this is the way that we, you know, of late, and I think, you know, after many years of trying to present dispensational Bible study in different ways, I think this is the one that to me makes the most sense, because it's so clear in the verses. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You go to Revelation chapter 21, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that basic, if you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, that's the basic division, heaven and earth. And in Ephesians 1, verse 10, then the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. So he has one purpose, and that kind of goes with the fact that, you know, that God never changes, and we need to add amend that statement and expand that statement. God never changes, and his purpose never changes, to gather all things together in one in Christ. And that purpose, to gather all things together in one in Christ, is carried out in heaven and in earth. And rightly dividing the word of truth involves understanding how God's plan is carried out in heaven and how God's plan is carried out on the earth. So just, you know, that basic statement there about dispensational Bible study and why we study the Bible that way and what it means to rightly divide the word of truth and what is the division in Scripture is just something that's going to have to be reworked, because it's just not the case that, you know, the Bible, that God works in the way he does simply because man has changed and responded. God had a plan and a purpose from the moment he created heaven and earth. He had a plan and a purpose to bring all things together in one in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And so from day one, before mankind did anything, was created, any of it, before that, God had this plan and purpose, which involved two realms, heaven and earth. And of course, the last statement in that section, that point, we further believe that it is not enough to simply preach the word. We must preach the word rightly divided if we are to be pleasing God. And that certainly is true, that we have to, you know, we many, 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 many preachers preach the word, but if you don't preach the word rightly divided, if you don't preach the word, that's, you know, our third point in our four pillars of truth, study you can understand. And if you don't teach the word rightly divided, then you're not going to have study you can understand, because it just becomes confusing, and, you know, and why this and why that, and why did this work there but it doesn't seem to work here, and God told somebody to do this here and do this over here, it doesn't match, it doesn't fit. So rightly dividing the word of truth is necessary if we're to really teach with understanding. But you know, that section, that paragraph, definitely needs to be amended and expanded to show that understanding the Bible from a right division perspective, heaven and earth, is something that it's not just that God was well, mankind did this, now I have to go do that, because that's not the way it is. Nothing surprised God. He wasn't, oh my goodness, mankind sinned, now what am I going to do? It was all there all along, and his plan and purpose was there all along, to bring all things together in one in Christ. So in heaven and in earth, and right division is much more about what God is doing than what man is doing. You know, God is doing what he's doing. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, because God's going to do what he's going to do, and we can choose to be a part of what he's doing or not. So that first statement, as I said, is going to be, I think, need to be reworked some. So any questions about that one, or comments about, you know, I mean, you've all heard me teach on right division and doing it based on heaven and earth and that perspective, which I think is first and foremost, it's more proper because it's the way the Bible lays itself out. But secondly, I think it's just an easier concept to understand, that God is doing these things in heaven and in earth, and that one purpose. And that goes with, we must realize that, although God never changes, not only does God never change, but his purpose never changes. His purpose is to gather, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So his purpose never changes. It is what it is. And he's, you know, at times he's working to carry out that purpose in heaven. At times he's working to carry out that purpose in earth. But that purpose never changes. So that goes with the fact that God never does change, and his purpose never does change. But he carries that out through the pages of history as he fulfills it in heaven and in earth. Any questions about that? Okay. So this next one, like I said, we have taught this in recent history, recent past. It's just not generally the way we come at dispensationalism now, but this is not an incorrect statement. We believe that the key to rightly dividing the word of truth. So I might say now that the key to dividing the word of truth is what we just talked about, to understand that God has one purpose, and that purpose it has a fulfillment in heaven and earth, and that's the key. This is more the key to, as we lay out the Bible, if you start at Genesis and go through Revelation, how do you understand where these changes take place? So we believe the key to rightly dividing the word of truth is to understand the erection, breaking down, and re-erection of the middle wall of partition. And that is, of course, a scriptural term we'll see here in a minute. In time past, God erected a middle wall of partition around Abraham and his physical offspring through Isaac and Jacob, and dealt exclusively through that group of people. So go to Genesis chapter 12. So this is that middle. Now, it's not called that in the Old Testament. It's not till we get to Paul that he's going to call it that, and we'll see that here in a minute. But it is the separation of Israel out to be a distinct group of people. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So obviously he's setting aside Abraham and his descendants there. If you go over to Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7, Exodus 11 and verse 7. Can't get my pages apart. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So that's a clear statement that he's put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There's another passage, 1 Kings, I think it is, chapter 8. There's another verse that is, I think, a good one. We didn't use it in the statement here, but it's certainly one that could be added. 1 Kings chapter 8, I think is verse 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53. For thou didst separate them, this is speaking of Israel, thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth. So Israel is a separated people, and that separation is the middle wall of partition. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 22. John 4 and verse 22. John chapter 4, verse 22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, we the Jews, for salvation is of the Jews. So that at this context, in this time frame, salvation is of the Jews. If you want to get to God, you got to go through that nation. So in time past, God erected a middle wall of partition around Abraham and his physical offspring through Isaac and Jacob. And that's an important concept. We think of the middle wall, because of the phrase that's used, the middle wall of partition, as being, well, like we have this room here and we build a wall in the middle, and so we've divided two people. But if you've got people out on planet Earth, if you want to separate a group of people from the rest of the world, what do you have to do with your wall? What's your wall have to be? It has to encircle them. It has to be a fence. Go back for a minute to Isaiah chapter 5. So So the term middle wall of partition, it is the middle wall that separated Jew and Gentile, but it also encircled that nation. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, "Now will I sing to my beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a winepress therein, looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes." You notice verse 2 there, the first part of the verse, "and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof." So that middle wall of partition is defined there in Isaiah as he fenced it. He enclosed it and he gathered out the stones thereof, took out the Gentiles, and he planted it with the choicest vine. So the middle wall of partition is not just a wall that divides like a room, that's what we might think of a partition, but it encircles that nation and separates them from all the peoples of the earth. And that's why we use the terminology there. In time past, God erected a middle wall of partition around Abraham and his physical offspring through Isaac and Jacob, and dealt exclusively through that group of people. So that middle wall of partition encircles them and surrounds them. In this present age, the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and God is no longer dealing with man on the basis of national distinction. So let's go to Ephesians 2. That's actually the last passage we have listed, but I want to read it first because it's the passage that uses the term middle wall of partition. Ephesians 2 and verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And so that distinction, that breaking down the middle wall of partition, and what made that middle wall of partition strong was the law, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Israel had the law. They had the wherewithal to understand God's will. Paul says in Romans 2, "Behold, if thou art a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and are confident that thou art a guide of the blind, being instructed out of the law," all those things are because Israel had the law. So when he abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances, then he took away that special advantage of Israel. And he reconciled all together, broke down the middle of partition between us so that he could reconcile all together in one in Christ. If you go back to Romans 11, and again, this isn't a verse that we quote in the statement of faith here, but I think, you know, as we've studied and learned more through the years, this is definitely a passage that speaks to this issue. Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief." Well, let's start at verse 30. "For as ye," and the "ye" in the passage there is Gentiles, "as ye Gentiles in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their," and that's Israel's, "unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." So when God is showing mercy to the Gentiles, he's also showing mercy to Israel. "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." So God now has, you know, we sing the little chorus, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I." So at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. The Jew is not above the Gentile. The Gentile not above the Jew. He leveled it all out. And we all now stand condemned, that he might have mercy on all. So that breaking down of the middle wall or partition allows him to have mercy on all without distinction. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see that in verse 13, as he forms the body of Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And then Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. And in Galatians 3:26, a similar statement there about Jews and Gentiles. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there is neither Jew nor Gentile. That's not the issue anymore. In this present age, the middle wall partition has been broken down, and God is no longer dealing with man on the basis of national distinction. So mankind is mankind now. Doesn't matter if you're, there is no such thing in God's eyes as a Jew. There's national Israel. Israel exists as a nation, but there's no such thing as a Jew in the sense that you have a special relationship to God and a special standing before God. All men, you know, he concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So the middle wall partition today in this current age, the middle wall partition is broken down. Then the last statement, at a future time, the middle wall of partition will be erected again. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I didn't get there yet. Right? All these people trying to tell me what I'm supposed to say. I'm telling you. You got a wife telling you what to say. You got Keith telling you what to say. Everybody's telling you what to say. So, yeah, there's a sentence. Keith's on the last statement there. But at a future time, the middle wall of partition will be erected again, and God will fulfill his promises to Israel. And if you go back to that passage in Romans, Romans 11, that we read further down in the passage, but up in the passage, you know, we read beginning at verse 30 what God is doing now. If you go back a few verses in that passage to verse 26, so all Israel shall, well, start at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, that shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. So God is going to do what he said he would do. All Israel shall be saved. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then all Israel shall be saved. So at that future time, he erects the middle wall of partition again to fulfill his promises to Israel. Then, you know, the sentence Keith was referring to, we further believe that the middle wall of partition was erected in Genesis 12, and we already read Genesis 12, 1-3, when he separated Abraham to be his special nation.
We wouldn't all agree with that.
Wouldn't we?
No. As a matter of fact, that one verse you read in 1 Kings tells you when it was put up, along with Corinthians 10 too.
One way you could say it is that the middle of partition went up when they were led out of the land of Egypt. That's when they were identified together as a nation. But you know, the thing about that is that they were given the law even before that. Well, that, you're right. They're given law as a part of that coming out of the nation, I should have said. So they're given that law as a part of coming out of that nation. And so, you know, if it's the law that is the middle wall of partition, then Keith's right. But In Genesis 12, they're clearly separated to something. And the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are different than the rest of the world, and they're different than the descendants of Abraham and Ishmael and Esau. So, but I understand what Keith's saying there. He's saying the middle wall of partition relates to the law that's given when they come out of the land of Egypt. And for, he's 1 Corinthians 10, we're almost there, so just flip over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So at that point, they coalesced together as a nation. I would tend to say that's their national identity, not their identity as God's chosen people, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were God's chosen people before there was the law. So, but.
But also, Job 33, 34, 35, Elihu was speaking by inspiration. And Elihu was a Gentile. He was Abraham's brother's offspring. So God was still dealing with Gentiles to an extent, because it had to do with Job.
Right. He always dealt with Gentiles as they interacted with Israel. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. He's always dealing with it with Gentiles, but only as they touch the nation Israel. So you have to think about that some. But I understand what you're saying. So Keith's saying that middle wall of partition was actually erected when the law was given and when Israel came out of Egypt and was baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So, and that certainly is their identity as a nation. You know, the way I've always presented that is they are the family of Abraham, all descended from a single person from Abraham. You know, when they're down in captivity in Egypt and when all that's going on, they are the family of Abraham. But when they offer the Passover and they come out of that land and they're baptized into Moses, Moses then becomes their prophet, priest, and king, and they coalesce together as a nation. And of course, Moses becomes the lawgiver as one of his roles as prophet. You know, he gives the law. So there is certainly a sense in which they coalesce together as a nation when they come out of the land of Egypt. And that's a very, obviously still today, Passover is a very big day for the Jews. So it was their national, you know, they view it as their birth as a nation. So erected in Genesis 12, there again, I think there is an argument to say it's in Exodus when they come out of the, it would be Exodus 12 and 12, when they, the Passover and when they come out of the land. Was broken down in Acts 13, and that's Acts 13:6. We use this event that happened with Bar Jesus, which I think is a picture and a type of what's happening dispensationally to Israel and to the Gentiles. Acts 13:6, and when they were gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who desired for Barnabas, and, or called rather for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So that's kind of an event, a picture and a type of something is changing. Now that that special role that Israel had is going away. Israel is being blinded and set aside, and salvation is going to the Gentiles apart from that nation, Israel. So the middle wall of partition has been broken down. You no longer need a Jew to get salvation. The Jews are no longer God's channel of reconciliation to the world. Now that's been broken down, and the event there that happens with Bar-Jesus and Sergius Paulus illustrates that, and it illustrates also who's the man that's taking the message now, and that's Paul, and of course Barnabas is with him there, but Paul continues on with that message. And then the last statement, it will be re-erected at the rapture of the body of Christ. So that's Romans chapter 11. We already read this passage, but if you look at verse 25, Romans 11, 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And there again, I would, our understanding of the timing of the rapture certainly has changed over the years. But I think the statement to make there is it will be re-erected when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that's what the verse says. And it's hard to argue with what the verse says. So when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, that's another point. But that middle wall of partition will be re-erected when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And we quote Romans 11:25, and that's exactly what Romans 11:25 says. So, and that really, in the context of Romans 11, that's exactly what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you know, he's broken down the middle wall of partition. He's dealing with the Gentiles. He's calling out the body of Christ from the Gentiles. And then when that's accomplished, when that's done, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, so all Israel shall be saved. Once that's accomplished, now all Israel shall be saved. I think that the thing that's missing from the, so as I said, this is kind of going through the Bible and how would you lay out the Bible, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I think the thing that needs to be added, you know, and based on the discussion we had about point number one, is that, you know, why did God separate out Israel? Well, he separated them out to fulfill his purpose in the earth. So we need to add, you know, some verbiage in there that says, you know, when he erected, in time past, God erected a middle wall partition around Abraham and his physical offspring through Isaac and Jacob, and dealt exclusively through that group of people to fulfill his purpose in the earth. Because we're going to add that to the first statement that, you know, God has one purpose. He's going to fulfill that in heaven and earth. And so then when he broke down the middle wall partition, God's no longer dealing with man on the basis of national distinction. And he's forming the church, the body of Christ, to fulfill his purpose in heaven. So, you know, and that, you know, that idea that he's no longer dealing on the basis of national distinction, I think we do need to say in there, well, so that if he's not dealing with the Jews anymore, then who's he dealing through? Well, that's the body of Christ. And so he's dealing through the body of Christ, and that entity is to fulfill his purpose in heaven. Then at a future date, he re-erects the middle wall of partition and concludes his purpose in the earth of establishing his dominion on the earth. So we need to talk. So this is just looking, okay, the Bible divides here, 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 and here, but we need to, how does that relate to what God's doing? Because what God's doing is fulfilling one purpose in heaven and earth. And all of these changes, and the middle wall of partition, and calling out Israel, and then forming the body of Christ, is just to facilitate his purpose to gather all things together in one in Christ, and to do that in two places, heaven and earth. So we add the heaven and earth verbiage in number one, and then we refer to it in number two when we talk about why is he making all these distinctions. Questions about that, or comments about that? Or reservations about any of that? We're at 5 till 8, so we're going to quit with that one, and because the next one is the one that is going to next one's the one that's going to get me in trouble and get Keith in trouble and everybody else in trouble. So So, yeah, like I said, I think there's some... I'm not even sure we want to call this section dispensational distinctions anymore. We might just call it rightly dividing the word of truth, because that's what the Bible calls it. So, no questions, comments about any of that? All right, let's have a word of prayer then. We'll be dismissed. Our God and Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity of looking together to study your word tonight. We pray that as we do and as we consider ways to express and explain our belief and our understanding, that we would do it in a way that makes it clear and understandable to those that need to understand your word. You need to understand the gospel of salvation, but they need to understand also how to live their lives based on who they are in Christ in this age of grace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.